bless you. We are the 6th of October 2025, and we are on Rebecca Lee Jancy's Soon Fellowship, and this is her third one. And it's really, really wonderful to be here. And a present is Becky and Zara, my daughter. And it's really nice to see Zara come on for the second time. It's a real blessing. And she's got a great heart, shares greatly as well, like Becky. And Becky's really come up the ranks as God's been working in her and showing her what to do and what to believe. And, you know, she's been connecting faithfully. When she first connected to me, you know, she was in a place where it was difficult for her, and, you know, she had bad nerves, anxiety, lots of things going on. And I was pretty tough in the beginning, and I said to her, like, well, you know, what do you want? Well, I want to do what you're doing. And I said, well, if you're willing to do what I do, that's great. And I said, but you need to do exactly what I'm encouraging you, and if you do that, you'll see your life change. And I think Becky would be the first one to tell you that she has done that, and her life has changed and is changing. And, you know, not to say that there wasn't problems or situations that arise, because we live in this world, and but we're not of this world. You know, we can live above it, because we do have answers when we go to God. And, you know, and God is a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's a God of blessing. He doesn't want us to live below par spiritually, or that's why he gave us Jesus Christ. And when we confess him as Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit. So now we got the potential to really walk as Jesus Christ walked. We are as Jesus is, it says in the scriptures. And so as Jesus is now at the right hand side of God, we are as he is. And so God wants us to be really blessed. He wants us to manifest the kingdom of God here on earth. And the kingdom of God is actually within you. It's called Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the kingdom of God is right within. So when we pray, we don't have to look up. We look within, because that's where God is residing, in on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit. You know, and God is spirit. That's what God is. He isn't a man with flesh or anything like that. And God's spirit, because he is spirit, teaches your spirit. The spirit that he gave to you, that spirit of Christ. And your spirit teaches your mind, and whatever you act upon from what God's showing you via that Holy Spirit and his scriptures too, and his direction in the scriptures, you know, it become manifest in our life. So when we follow God's wisdom, then we will start to manifest the blessings that God really wants all of us to have, that we never thought we could have. Like, we can really have a lot of peace in the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of hurt. We can manifest healing in the midst of sickness and the things that are going on around us. We can cast out devils. We can raise the dead. You know, we are a new vehicle. We are a spiritual person, and the Spirit of God is dwelling within us. We're spiritual people. We're not carnal no longer. We got a carnal body, but the mind is housed by the Holy Spirit within us. And according to our free will and submitting to what God is showing, then we can start walking as Christ, talking as Christ, thinking as Christ, feeling as Christ. And you know, Jesus Christ had emotions. It says in the scriptures that he was tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin. So he was challenged on every level, at the highest level of any challenge in the world. But he passed it because he kept God first, showing us that we can control our thinking, that we can bring every negative thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We can say what God says. And for us, it's a practice, because we've never been used to practicing that way. We've been used to responding to the negatives and what the world tells us that we should do and how we should think and how we should feel. And so what God has been putting in my heart is about just basically some words that I want to look at. And it's the words wealth, riches, money, gold and silver. What do those words mean? Are they this meaning the same thing? Is there different meanings to them? What does God say about wealth, riches, money, gold and silver? Because I know that God wants all of his people to prosper and be in health. Now, I know the prosperity isn't just about money, but it certainly does include that. A lot of Christians exclude it, saying, oh, you shouldn't be looking at money. And God wants us to have an abundance of it. No, God wants us to be the head and not the tail in a situation. He wants his blessings to chase us down and overtake us. What are the blessings of God? Does God chuck money out to us? No, he chucks wisdom out to us. So it says in Ecclesiastes that God gives to a man which is good in his sight, wisdom, knowledge, and joy, right? So God gives to a good man, someone that is good is someone who has the spirit of God, right? And he gives to that person, the man or woman or child, wisdom, knowledge, and joy. So we get the knowledge of God, we get the wisdom of God. Wisdom is knowledge applied. So God gives us knowledge and then he shows us how we're to use that knowledge. That's wisdom. When we use the knowledge, it's wisdom. And he gives us joy that we can do these things with happiness. Not only that, but God has given us, in Deuteronomy, it says that God has given us power to get wealth. So God is, his power is that spirit of God in us plus his wisdom and his knowledge, right? So God has given us power to get wealth. So Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You can't have an abundant life if you're poor. You can have a blessed life and a happy life within your heart and in your mind, but you're not going to be able to pay your rent, your bills. You're not going to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. And God wants you blessed to be a blessing. So when we get in our minds the idea about money and riches and wealth and gold and silver and what they're for, and that God does want us to have it, then we can be more confident in going to God for that, because God is the one that supplies it, right? So God, Jesus told the story of that this man, he went away and he gave 2 talents to one servant, 5 talents to another servant, and he told them to go and invest, he told them to look after it, right? The first one, he went away and he invested the 5 talents that he received and got another 5 talents, you know, and then someone else had 10 talents and they got another 10 talents. Yeah. So they multiplied what they received. The other one buried his talent because he was scared that if he lost it, his master was a hard man, but he didn't multiply it. He didn't even put it into the bank to get interest. And Jesus said that the master of that servant told that servant he was wicked. That's a big statement. He was wicked. Why? Well, he didn't do anything wrong. He just didn't invest it. He didn't multiply it. So it stayed the same value, right? And he was wicked because he should have multiplied it. He should have put it to good use to multiply it. And this is the. And then Jesus goes on to say, he that is faithful in that which is least will be entrusted in that which is much, right? So what's the least? The least is the money. And the much is the spiritual truths and wisdom and benefits and blessings of God. The spiritual riches. That's what God will entrust us. When we're faithful with the least thing. And money, riches, wealth, gold and silver is the least thing. The greater thing is the spiritual riches. The spiritual understanding. The spiritual wisdom. And if we're using that, then we'll also multiply the wealth, the riches, the gold and the silver. See? So God wants us. You know, and it says in James, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, and God will give to all man liberally, freely. That word liberally means freely. And he won't upbraid you. He won't tell you off for asking him for wisdom. So you can go to God and say, God, please give me wisdom concerning my finances. Please give me wisdom concerning stewardship. Please give me wisdom concerning what wealth is. What riches are, what money is, what gold is, what silver is. Give me the wisdom of it. And so this is what got me on the journey, looking at this, right? So wealth, riches, money, gold and silver. That's what we're going to look at. So, you know, throughout the scriptures, God speaks about the prosperity, stewardship and provisions in terms of wealth, riches, money, gold and silver. And these words are often used interchangeably in everyday speech. But each one carries a unique meaning and significance. So understanding the difference helps us to see God's blessings flow and how we are to steward what he provides. See, the big key to your income is your outgoings. If you're not good at looking after your money and putting it to work for you, then it's going to dry up pretty quick. So it's very important that it shows us that if the key to our incomes is our outgoings, then we've got to be good stewards. We've got to, you know, manage that money well. Not stingily, not, you know what I mean, but we've got to manage it well. And so we can ask God to help us do that. Because, like, I'm a person that was never taught anything about these things. And I've had to learn by going to God. And also looking at a few different other examples and people. and then putting it to practice myself, but initially from God. So we're going to look at wealth and the wealth definition. What is the definition of wealth? So wealth is the broadest form of prosperity, right? An abundance of resources. It includes possessions, land, livestock, knowledge, wisdom, influence, an asset that sustains life and creates future increase. That's what wealth is. Wealth isn't just having loads of money, but it's having an abundance of resources. Not just money, but you've got possessions, you've got land, you've got livestock, you've got knowledge, how to operate in all those things, how, the wisdom how to move with, amongst it. And you've got influence, and you can influence other people. And these are assets that sustain life, our own life and the people around us. And it also creates future increase. So God doesn't just want us to get to a plateau and level out. He wants us to continue to develop. And when you think about Solomon, what was the first thing that Solomon asked God for? Wisdom. He didn't ask for riches or honor or long life, none of those things. But God knew that he needed those riches, those wealth, those honor, all those things, right? So he said, well, I've given you what you haven't asked for. Why would God do that if he didn't ask for him? Because he needs it. He's going to be a king. He's representing God. Who are we representing? We represent the kingdom of God. We represent God and we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're struggling in this life, we're no different to anyone else. How are we shining as a light in those areas? So we do have a responsibility to look at these things, these areas, and ask God to help us to be prosperous so that we are a blessed to be a blessing, that we can say, yes, my God does supply all my need according to his glorious riches. See, God is rich. He owns all the gold, all the silver, all the cattle, right? And so we want to do God justice by that manifesting in our life. So in Genesis 13:2, it says, "And Abram," so Abraham was called Abram before he became Abraham, "and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold." So Abraham's wealth was not just coins, but they were herds, lands, and he had influence. Because he had herds and because he had lands, he had influence. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth." So wealth is empowerment, not just possessions. If I got wealth, I can empower you if you don't have any, right? I can help you to be successful if I have that, right? You can also do that to others. That's called blessed to be a blessing, right? And God is the one that gives us the power. So there's power in getting wealth, and that power is in the knowledge of God. And a lot of the people of this world have that knowledge, but they don't worship God, they don't put God first, they apply all the principles, but they don't really have God first in their life. But because they're applying laws and principles of God, they're going to reap the blessings of it. So they manifest the riches, they manifest the wealth. Even evil people can if they apply the principles. So the principles always work. Like the law of gravity is a principle. If you jump off the roof, you're going down. You're not going up, unless you've got a jetpack to stop you from hitting the floor, right? And the way you overcome the law of gravity is the law of lift. Like the engines of a plane, you go along the runway with the speed, and then the engines kick in, and it overcomes the law of gravity that keeps that plane down. And if you think that these planes are hundreds of tons in weight, with people on it as well, and suitcases and all that, and it can get right up there, and it can travel at high speeds. So wealth is the capacity to create and sustain abundance. Money can lose value, but wealth includes assets that endure. Wisdom, skills, property, business, and networks. So true wealth is multi-dimensional and can be transferred across to generations. Right, so, you know, Proverbs 13:22. So riches, let's have a look at the definition of riches. We're just looking at those words, right? But I had to give you a little bit of background to get flowing in what I'm saying. So riches, the definition of riches are the physical expressions of wealth, the treasures, possessions, or luxuries that make abundance tangible, noticeable. So riches we can show off that we have wealth, or we have money, or we got loads of it, right? So Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." So when God is blessing us, he'll prosper you and he'll have no sorrow with it. A lot of people can get blessed financially by winning the lottery, but because there's no one to guide them, or they got no sense, they've never had anyone give them any true values of what money is and what it means and how to use it, they get themselves in a lot of trouble. They can lose all their wealth. I mean, we had a national lottery winner going back years ago, 80 million. He was broke within the year. He just wasted it. And it brought a lot of destruction to his family. So, you know, we've got to have wisdom along with the blessings that God gives us. And God is not going to give you something if he knows you're going to hurt yourself with it, right? But if you're operating in the principles, you can still get those blessings. But whether you've got the wisdom to steward it is a different thing. So Psalms 112:3 says, "Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever." So wealth and riches are in the house of those that walk with God, are in the house of those that practice, are in the house that have set their heart and mind to focus on God. That's what that's all about. So riches are the fruit of wealth, the outward manifestation of prosperity. So a person may be wealthy, possessing resources and capacity. So riches are the fruit of wealth and outward manifestation of prosperity. So a person may be wealthy, possessing resources and capacity without displaying it. But riches show the overflow of abundance. So in the scriptures, riches often refer to treasures and material goods. But God also warns against trusting in uncertain riches. You can read that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. That's riches. So we've just covered riches, wealth and riches, what they mean. Now money. So money is a medium of exchange, a symbol that represents value in trade. Okay, so it's not wealth itself, but it's a tool to access goods and services. So like if I want to go and purchase something, I get the cash out and go and get it. And then we exchange the goods for the cash, right? So scripture references Ecclesiastes 10:19. And it says, "But money answereth all things." Well, there's your answer. Give me the goods. Right? Money provides answers in the realm of transaction and human need. So on a daily basis, that's going on. You go to the shops. You have a need for a pint of milk. For you to get that pint of milk, you're either going to steal it or you're going to pay for it, right? And if you pay for it, the money is what you used for that transaction. You're transacting something, right? Matthew 22, verses 19 to 21. It says, "Jesus asked for a coin and said, 'Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God.'" In other words, he's saying, Caesar, he's the governor, you pay your taxes. So give what is rightfully theirs, what they ask you for. But you also pay God what is rightfully his as well. And going back then, it was the 10% and all the other things that they would give, right? So give to the government what the government require of you, and give to God what God requires of you. That's what Jesus was basically saying there, to help the people stay in a way where they're not going to get themselves in trouble, right? So commentary of this, I would say, is that money has no intricate value. It is paper, like it's coins, it's digital entry. So it's just digits, right? But it represents trust and exchange. So money answers practical needs, but it's not for the foundation of true prosperity. It's temporal. It's subject to inflation, corruption and manipulation, but necessary for daily commerce. So basically, money just gets us what we need. So if you need a train ticket, you go to the train station, the money will get you a train ticket, right? But money ain't going to stick around. Money can change. Like I remember coming back from India, and I had about 3,000, was it? I had 30,000 rupees, which is like 300 quid, in Indian money. And the government there changed all their rupees, so I lost it. couldn't get my money back. So it can change, right? Anyway, so that's money. And let's have a look at gold. Gold is precious. It's an enduring metal used as a store of value, a currency, an ornament. It represents purity, permanence, and a divine standard. And the scripture references Genesis chapter 2, verses 11 through to 12. It says, "The name of the first is Pison, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good." So that was an area of land that had good gold. And Revelation 21:21 says, "The heavenly cities have streets of pure gold." If you think when we go to heaven, or when we're in the new heaven and the earth, it's going to be pure gold everywhere. Wow. And it's sustaining, it's lasting. It doesn't have to be changed. It doesn't corrupt. So gold symbolizes that which is incorruptible and lasting. That's what it symbolizes. So unlike money, gold retains value across the centuries. And that's why they want a gold-backed coin. You know, if our cash is backed by gold, then it's going to be really strong. And this is what countries fight over. You know, so the petrol dollar is what is sustaining all currencies. The US dollar, the petrol dollars. But really, we want it gold back, and then it's solid money. So in scripture, it often points to divine wealth and eternal value. So God instructed Israel to use gold in the tabernacle in Exodus 25, verse 11, as a symbol of holiness and enduring worth. So gold is very, very valuable, right? And then silver. So silver is another precious metal. And it's valuable, but less than gold. Often used in currency, trade, and ornaments. So the scripture reference is Proverbs 10:20. "The tongue of the just is a choice silver." Zechariah 13:9 says, God says, "I will refine them as silver is refined." Matthew 26:15, Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. All right. So silver represents value, exchange, and refinement. So in the scripture, it carries a symbolic weight in both righteousness and corruption, as with Judas. Silver was widely used in trade, making it a symbol of everyday value compared to the permanence of gold. So there's a lot of great things that I just shared there with you that you can take further if you wanted to. And so the comparison, so wealth is basically the capacity and abundance of resources, assets, wisdom and influence. And the example of that is in Deuteronomy 8:18. God gives power to get wealth, right? So it's enduring prosperity and it's generational. That's what wealth is. Riches is physical display of abundance, treasures and possessions. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And it's the fruit of wealth and outward prosperity. Money is the medium of exchange, a symbol of value, Ecclesiastes 10:19. So money answereth all things, like the tool for transactions, not true wealth. Gold, a precious enduring metal, and its divine standard of value, Revelations 21:21, streets of pure gold. And symbol of permanence, holiness, and eternal worth. And silver is precious but lesser metal used in trade. Like, Matthew 26:15, 30 pieces of silver. That's what Judas used to betray, he received for betraying Jesus. And it's a symbol of exchange, refinement, and everyday value. So wealth is the foundation, the God-given capacity for increase. Riches are the manifestation of the capacity. Money is the servant, not the master. It's a tool for trade, not the essence of prosperity. Gold represents permanence, eternal value, and a high standard. And silver symbolizes exchange and refinement, which is valuable yet secondary. So true prosperity is when wealth, the capacity, riches, the manifestation, money, the exchange, and gold, the permanence, and silver, the refinement and trade, are all lined under the blessings of the Lord. So basically, that's the summation of looking at those words. And if you go through it and have a look at it yourself, go back through your notes, you can go back through this audio and take your time with those things, then you can really begin to get the right heart so that you can receive God's abundance and God's blessings. See? So it's like, I'll send you the audio. I recorded it on my thing, and I think you've got the recording on here as well, Bex. But go through that, because you can go back through the script, you can listen to what's being said, And then you can see that God does really want us to be prosperous. He doesn't want his people to be poor. He doesn't want his people begging on the streets. He doesn't want his people going to jumble sales or to second-hand shops to get the... Because that's what people do. When you look at a lot of the believers, I've done it, my mum done it, we've all done it. But it was because that's how we thought it had to be done. Oh, we're going to take our leftovers to the, you know, the corner shop. Yeah, it's nice to do that so other people can get it. But we're not, we shouldn't go and buy from that. God wants us to have new so then we can give off what we don't use. Like my clothes, I could give away because they're in good condition. That it's like, there was one guy that I knew in the ministry, going back many years ago, going back in the 70s, he could have brought a £500 carpet or a £5,000 carpet. Going back in the 70s, that's a lot of money. And they went for a £5,000 carpet. But going up to the 1999, they still had that carpet from the 70s. Because it was good value, it was solid, it was, you know, it was worth its money. It was lasting. So when we buy cheap products, they don't last. Right? It decays pretty quick. But it's like with watches. And, you know, quality of clothes. You know, God wants us to have the best. And if we got the finances to get them, then get them. Because not only will they last you, but you can also give them over and it'll be like someone's brand new top or trousers or suit. You know what I'm saying? So it's something that you can hand down and help someone who's coming up. It's having a right mind with money. If you just waste it, you're putting money into bag with holes. So honouring God is a massive thing. And God says that he gives you your seed to sow and he multiplies your seed sown. So I was talking to someone last night and I was saying, you need to ask God, like, okay, you've been asking God, what should I give? I said, but tell God what you really want to give. Because if you want to give bigger than what you're giving, you can, because God supplies the seed. So you take your desire to God, Father, I really want to give this, but I haven't got the money coming in for me to really give this. So you provide me that avenue. And like, and I learned that in November the 24th, 2019, when God said to me, how much do you want to give me, Lawrence? And I put a bigger amount to the smaller amount I used to give. And do you know what? The first month went by and the money come in. Not only could I give the big amount I wanted to give, but I could double that, which I did, by the way. And then a couple of days later after I prayed that and God told me, he asked me, how much do you want to give me? That's what you should give. What's in your heart? Because it puts a bigger value on it. Because then there's true heart behind your giving, right? And then he then showed me that how much would you like to receive at the end of each month? So I worked out all my money and I had 50 quid left over. So I wrote down the amount I would like to receive at the end of the following month. And I've always got that. And it's never been less. It's always been that or more. Never less. And so God's faithful. And these principles work. I proved it to me. You know what I mean? And I operate in all those principles. And I'm learning more and more and more. Because there's so much more to learn about it. The heart behind what you have. And how you value and how you see things is very important. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share.